this about the last section, but I'm going to say it again about this section. Scrumptious. It's just scrumptious. It's wonderful what awaits us in these verses. So bow with me and we'll pray together. No, I'm sorry. Let's read it first. Then we'll pray. Here it is. Hebrews 11, 17 to 28. By faith, Abraham, by faith, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Hebrews 11, 17 to 28. Now let's pray. Thank you, our Father in heaven, for this time of gathering ourselves in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God, our Savior. Oh, thank you, Father, for the free and the full redemption that we have obtained through his shed blood. We pray that everyone gathered with us today and people all over the globe hearing the name of Jesus will be turning to you, Lord Jesus, believing upon you, calling upon you for pardon and forgiveness and for everlasting life. May men and women and boys and girls in this very room today turn to you and become children of the living God. Many of us have turned, and we pray, oh God, that your word would come into our souls and our minds with Holy Spirit power today. We don't want to waste this time that we have in your presence and with your word. So we pray that you would give us attentive minds and open and willing and humbled hearts that we might receive the word as your word and that it might bear fruit to righteousness and to everlasting life. So, Lord, have your way in us, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. I have a not the slightest bit creative sermon title for you today. Here it is. By faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. Really creative, right? At my very best. So before we dive into the text, a few things about faith, saving faith. Saving faith is believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as God the Son, and as your Savior. Saving faith is you calling upon the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus, please pardon me. Please forgive me. Please adopt me as one of your own. Please make me a blood-bought child of God. And similar such words. Saving faith puts trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Also, in the Bible, saving faith is presented to us, is declared to us to be a gift. It is a gift of God. Read Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It's not a work that we perform. It's a gift God gives us. If you have saving faith, where did you get that? God gave it to you. There you were, all dead in your trespasses and sins, all bound up in your darkness and transgressions, and God in his mercy and grace sovereignly stepped in and regenerated your soul and gave you faith and gave you repentance, and you've turned and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Furthermore, saving faith has both intellectual or cognitive parts to it. There are certain things you believe. There are things you assent to. There are propositional truth statements, and you affirm them in your soul. But it also has heart aspects, your heart, your loves, your passions, even your feelings about things or your feelings about God. And saving faith envelops all of those and changes all of those. Furthermore, in the book of James in particular, many other places in the Bible, but in James 2, 14 to 26, James emphasizes that true saving faith is always accompanied by, will always bear the good works of righteousness, will always bear an obedient heart, an obedience in life, because you're regenerated and you have a new heart and you love the things of God and you hate the things of the devil. And so you're a changed person. So saving faith, I pray that you all have it, is a deep trusting belief in Jesus Christ as Savior that leads you to repentance, that leads you to a life transformed by God's grace. Now these Hebrews, these first century Hebrew believers who are talked about in this book, they had all of them made professions of faith in Christ, but some of them have walked away from Christ. There's been persecution from the Jews. There's been persecution from Rome. And some of them have said, I've had enough of this. I'm leaving Jesus Christ. They counted his blood, the blood of the covenant, common. They trampled him underfoot. They outraged the spirit of grace, and they went back. They said, I'm going back. I'm going back to Judaism. I'm going back to the law. I'm going back to Moses. I'm going back to the temple. I'm going back to sacrifices. I'm going back to the old covenant. And some had already departed and gone back. And he describes them. He helps us understand what happened with them. Well, they were never truly in Christ, to make it short. But then there are others in the church who are currently wobbling. They're wavering. Maybe I'll go back too, because I'm not liking this persecution stuff that came with Christ. And they're thinking about leaving. He's trying to shore them up. Again and again and again throughout the book, he urges them to hold fast, to hold fast, to hold fast. And so we want to learn to hold fast through this. But now it's as if in this chapter of the heroes of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, he's saying, so I hear you want to go back to the Old Testament. I hear some of you have gone back to the Old Testament. Well, good, the Old Testament's still the Word of God, but you're missing something back there. Let me show you what the Old Testament really does. It points you to Christ. If you go back there, you're going to make a U-turn and come right back to Christ. Still having the Old Testament as the first half of your Bible, New Testament as the second half of your Bible. But you want to go back? Let's go back to Abraham. Let's go back to Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Let's go back to Moses, and let's see what we learn. And so that's what we're doing today. That's where he's taking us today. So I'm going to start in at Hebrews 11, 17 and 18 together. That slide, please. Hebrews 11, 17 and 18. Abraham. One of the most important persons in the entire Old Testament and Bible. By faith. Remember in the chapter that phrase occurs 18 times. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. What's the chapter about? It's about being a man and woman who lives by faith. By faith, Abraham. So when Abraham did all the things, you want to go back to the Old Testament? Abraham's going to exemplify saving faith for you. The kind you need to have now in God's greater light and greater revelation of Jesus Christ. Abraham was not saved by works. He wasn't saved by the sacrificial system. Didn't even exist. He was saved by faith. By faith, when he was tested. And man, you talk about a test. You think, has God ever tested you? Well, sure he has. Have you ever had a test like Abraham's? By faith, then, when he was tested, his faith was working, shoring him up. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises, Abraham, was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Wow. So this is certainly one of the great, like, apex events of the Old Testament narrative of God's working with his people. It's Abraham and Isaac, and it's Abraham's faith. You know the story, Abraham and Sarah getting older, no child, barren, barren, praying, no child. They're getting older. Finally, they decide, let's take matters into our own hands. Here's Hagar, there's Ishmael. And Abraham says, here's Ishmael, Lord, may he live before you. And God says, paraphrase, no, not him. You two are still going to have one. You two. About this time next year, I'll come and your wife Sarah will conceive and you're going to bear a son. And he's your seed. Through him, your seed will be like the stars in the heaven. Through him, your seed will be like the sand on the seashore. Through him, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Through the one who's yet to come. Abraham believed because God said it. Sarah wavered for a moment. Tee-hee. Oh, you mean it for real? Oh, okay, all right, she believed too. They believed. But then came the test. That son was born. The son they waited for and prayed for, and God promised, and they believed, and then the son was born, and then God said, that's nice, now kill him. What would have been going through your mind? We're going to see what goes through Abraham's mind. Abraham might have been thinking, you can imagine, wait a minute, Lord. You gave us Isaac, going to be like the sand, going to be like the stars. You want me to what? Kill him? Sacrifice him? Lord, that doesn't make sense. It's kind of counterintuitive here. It doesn't seem like that's lots of good plan. Abraham isn't informing God that God's plan isn't a good plan. What did Abraham do? Hebrews 11:19. He considered. So he's sitting there thinking about it. Mulling over in his mind, wait a minute, how do I explain this? What's going on? What do I do here? He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead. So Abraham's thinking about, what's going on? What do I do? Why do I need to obey God? How's this going to work out? Because I know through him I've got the seed coming, like the stars, like the sand. Ah, I'm going to kill him and God's going to raise him up. How many resurrections had there been in the Bible at this point in redemptive history? Zero. So it's not like there was, you know, some case study he could refer to here. No, like this has never happened before, but this is his conclusion. I guess I'm going to kill him and God's going to raise him up. Or maybe he also thought, but we're not told, maybe God's going to stop me at the last moment, which is what actually happened, right? But it was a test of Abraham's faith, a test of Abraham's absolute obedience to God. God gives him one of the hardest tasks he's ever given any human, and Abraham steps right up to the plate and swings the bat. He considered that God was able. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ faithfully, you are often going to have to do that. You're going to have to consider God is able. You're going to have to believe and trust God is sovereign. He's working all things according to the counsel of his will. What's happening with me right now is all within the parameters of the providence of God. I bow, I submit, I bless, I rejoice, I wait by faith. He considered God's able to raise him from the dead. And then we get this bonus from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. When the knife was in the air and the boy is bound and the wood is there, he was as good as dead. The knife was coming down before God showed him the ram. There's the ram, sacrifice that instead. What a beautiful picture of Christ. What a beautiful type. But Abraham said God is able. Genesis 22:5 really bears this out. I won't put it up, I'll just read it to you. So Abraham's going to offer Isaac. He's got his young men helping him. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship. Pause on that. What he's about to do, offer up the son of promise, he calls worship. Our whole life is an act of worship. Everything we do in obedience to God's commands, we do in worship. It's all part of worship. It's not worship is when we're singing and everything else is life. No, it's all worship. We'll go over there and worship, and then notice, and then we, the boy and me, will come to you again. Abraham's like, I don't know how this is going to go when I get over there with the boy and the knife, but I know this. We're both coming back. That's pretty wild. That's how Abraham reasoned. He was absolutely convinced that Isaac would return with him. And he did. And all of this was by faith. You want to go back to Abraham? Abraham shows you how to have saving faith in God. In our age, we know more about God. We know he's a Trinitarian God. Saving faith in the second person of the Holy Trinity. Saving faith in Jesus Christ. Abraham points you to Christ. Abraham points you to salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You want to go back to Abraham? He'll bring you right back to Christ. Next up, Isaac, Hebrews 11:20. By faith, Isaac, that one. Now imagine you're Isaac and you know what happened there and how dad had raised the knife. And Isaac was a big guy by then. He must have submitted. He's a guy of faith. He submitted to dad. Sarah seems to be submitting to the word God had given them because she's not there saying, no, that's our kid. Don't touch him. No, they're all trusting God. They're all walking by faith. They're all believing. Isaac included. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau, Hebrews 11:20. That's in Genesis 27. What does it mean that he did that by faith? Well, he's telling those boys, this is what God's going to do. He's taking that by faith. God had said it. He's believing it. He's telling Jacob and Esau, here's what's in the future, because God has said it. It's by faith. Isaac was a man of faith. And Jacob, let's go to Jacob, Hebrews 11:21. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. That's Genesis 48. He blessed them each, and he told them what God's lot was for them in the future, in life. How did he know that? Jacob was a man of faith. He believed, he trusted, he blessed them accordingly. God said it, I believe it. Then we come to Joseph. Joseph, another apex person of the character list of Old Testament persons. Genesis 50, but Hebrews 11:22. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, he mentioned the exodus and he gave directions concerning his bones. He believed what God said. He believed there would be an exodus. He believed it enough that he said, and when you all leave here, don't leave my bones. I don't want my bones to rest in this land. This is not my people's land. Do y'all understand that? So my people are laid to rest in Gettysburg and near there. I was born in Gettysburg. Debbie's people are laid to rest in a couple places, but they're all in Virginia. They actually have a family, Clark family graveyard up in the mountains. I've been up there with her. It's amazing. And there are tombstones back there from, I forget now. I want to tell the truth and I forget. Late 1700s? Clark people lived up there. They had a whole community. She took me up there. I thought, oh, I want us to be laid to rest here. This is cool. Anyway, but from 85 to 95, we left. She's from Virginia, I'm from Maryland. We left here and we went to Southern California, Riverside, California. And I was pastor of Riverside Bible Church, 85 to 95. And we never really liked California. We like green, right? We like deciduous trees. We like grass. And it was desert and smog. We never really liked California. Good thing we didn't move there now, huh? Anyway, that's another thing. But the whole time we were there, honestly, I figured I'd probably live the rest of my life there and die. And I thought, but I don't want to be buried here. Isn't that funny? I don't want to be buried here. I want to be in Gettysburg or up down in the mountain in Virginia. Don't lay me to rest in Riverside, California. And that's the kind of thing Joseph was thinking. Don't lay me to rest in Egypt. I'm a pilgrim here. I'm a wayfarer. I'm a traveler. This isn't my place. These aren't my people. I don't want to be left here while you all go to Canaan. Take my bones to Canaan with you. And Canaan was a type of what? Heaven. What he really wanted was heaven. I want you to lay me to rest over there with the people of God, and I want to go to heaven with them all. And so, like Joseph, by faith, we realize We want another country. We don't really care so much about where our bones go, but where we're going. So now we're going to leave Abraham and his kin, and we're going to turn to Moses. They wanted to go back to Moses. He says, okay, let me take you back to Moses. You'll make a U-turn and come back to Christ. Moses points you to Christ in a lot of ways, but here's what we're looking at today. Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses. By faith, 18 times. By faith, Moses, when he was born, now we're going to switch to his parents, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. You remember there was the edict of the Pharaoh, kill all the Egyptian boys. The midwives got sneaky and said, these Hebrew women, they bear too fast. We didn't get the boys in time and stuff. So kill them, throw them in the Nile. If you didn't do that, you might be thrown in the Nile. But Moses' parents said, uh-uh. We don't care what that dumb king edicts. We're not throwing our baby in the Nile. So they made a little baby boat. And he's floating in the rush. What's that called? That's it, those. And because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. King said, kill the babies. They said, no. And they weren't terrified and they weren't afraid because they, by faith, they're trusting in the purposes of God and the providence of God and the sovereignty of God and the wisdom of God and the power of God in their lives. We will not do what the dumb old king says. We will obey God rather than man. And no, they were not afraid. This is what faith does for you. It makes you a human who is not afraid. I know there are various temperaments. Some people are temperamentally more fearful. You're going to struggle more with fear. Other people have no fear. They need to get a little fear. They're going to get killed. And there's everybody in between. But trusting in the word of God and the providence of God and the plan of God and God's purposes for your life will make you a fearless man or woman. What can they do to me? Kill me and I'll be in heaven. Sounds pretty good. And there's more about Moses. Let's zero in on him now. That was his parents. Now, Hebrews 11:24. And by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused. It's Greek word, arneomai. It means denied. No. Something was offered to him. Something was available to him. No. I refuse it. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's unimaginable wealth and prestige and power. We have, multi-billionaires on the planet now. We don't even know how much some of those oil sheiks have over there. They got way more than Elon has. And Bezos has. They're the rich people, and we just don't know how much they have. They are wealthy people. That was Pharaoh in that day. He was the wealthiest man. He was the most powerful man on the planet. He or she might have been a she Pharaoh right then. And all of that was at the disposal of Moses because, when he was in his little baby boat, she came out, oh, look, there's a baby. Let's go and fetch him. They got the baby. She loved the baby. And here comes the baby's true mom and says, would you like me to nurse him for you? Yes, please. Pretty cool the way that worked out. So Moses could have been the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said, no. What do you want instead? 11:25, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting temporary pleasures of sin, Hebrews 11:25. So Moses got options, and he looks at his options and he weighs them. And he says, on the one hand, I could be one of the wealthiest, most powerful, most prestigious people on the planet, or I could be a Hebrew slave who tends to sheep, they despise that, a shepherd. I could be a hick, basically. So I could be one of them. And what did he choose? Well, these are the people of God. I'm with them. I'm casting in my lot with the despised people of God, choosing rather to be mistreated. Why? What was he thinking? Hebrews 11, 26, 12 tells us. He considered, here's what he's thinking. He weighed them and he said, the reproach of Christ. Wait a minute, stop there. He didn't know about Christ. He hadn't heard the name Christ. Why is it called the reproach of Christ? Because it was Christ. He just didn't know that yet. It was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, was there. He was not yet incarnate, but he was Christ. And it was the reproach of Christ. Remember when they struck the rock in the Exodus? It was Christ. The rock was Christ. The rock that followed them. Remember, it was Christ. Christ was there in those days. So this was the reproach of Christ. You Hebrew people were thinking of leaving Christ because of the reproach. Moses chose the reproach of Christ. And he considered it greater wealth. Oh, that will help you as a child of God. The glories of Christ, the treasures of Christ, are greater wealth than, there's a blank, you fill in the blank, anything. My greatest treasures are the treasures of Christ. The things I really want, the things I really value, the things I really esteem are the treasures of Christ. That's where you want to be. That's where Moses was. Let me take you back to Moses. He treasured Christ, and he said, that's greater wealth than Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. He was looking to the last day. He was looking to the resurrection. He was looking to the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwell. Greater wealth. Let's see, I could be a multi-billionaire, or I could be a despised Christian. Which shall I choose? Which do y'all choose? Three of you are going to heaven. Which do you choose? The answer is going to be Christian. Which do you choose? Yeah, amen. I'm lining up with Jesus Christ. I'm treasuring Christ. More on Moses. Hebrews 11, 20, 27. By faith he left Egypt, right? Because God said it, so he did it. Man of faith. Not being afraid. Second time we've seen that. Not being afraid. Saving faith. Faith in the word of God, the providence of God, the purposes, plan of God, will make you a not afraid person. Not afraid of the anger of the king, for he left as seeing him who is invisible. It's like there was an eclipse going on. Wait a minute, I can barely see Egypt. I can barely see the riches. I can barely see the wealth. I can barely see the Pharaoh. I can barely see the king, because I can really see Christ. And eternity and glory. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. More on Moses, down to Hebrews 11, 28, please. By faith he kept the Passover, because God said to, and sprinkled the blood, because God said to, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them, because God said to. How come Moses kept the Passover? Because God said to. So you want to go back to Moses, he's going to model for you obedience to the revealed will of God, which is now in Christ Jesus. He's going to point you to Christ. So, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses, all men and women of faith. Oh, do ye be like them. I want to be a man of faith. I want to be a woman of faith. Not faith like the world talks about faith. Believe. What do I believe in? Just believe in. No, that's not, it's not biblical faith. It's based on the revelation of God, the propositional, verbal revelation of God in the word of God. Have faith. So it's not have faith in feelings you got somewhere about God, or intuitions or hunches you got somewhere about. It's not like I was in a very troubled time in my life and I got up real early one morning to pray, and just then, the way the sun came up over the earth, I knew it was God speaking to me. He was telling me everything's going to be okay. Listen, I hate to ruin this for you, honey, but the earth comes up right there at that hour every morning for everyone. You're confusing your feelings with God revealing himself to you. God reveals himself to you propositionally, verbally, through his word. Stick with his word. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust impressions. Don't trust the sun coming up at that time. These things are written for our admonition. And if you're going to be a strong Christian, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ faithfully, you will need to be a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl of faith. How can I get more faith? The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. What will increase your faith? Well, a number of things, but chiefly, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith is rooted in the Word. You want more faith? How about reading your Bible? We need more Christians who are actually reading more Bible. Not eat more chicken, read more Bible. The Church of Jesus Christ in our day really needs more Christians who are serious men and women of the Word. You've got six Bibles on your shelf. Pick one, read it. Get a Bible reading plan if you want, or just pick a book. Pick Ephesians and just read it and read it and read it till you know where everything is on the page. Don't use an app. Use a paper Bible. Apps are fine. They have their place. But for serious reading and learning a book, you need a book. Anyway, I'm off on a tangent. I'm out in the weeds. Read your Bible and be a man and woman of faith. And we will find, as these people found, that many of the duties of a new covenant redeemed child of God will require us to have strong biblical faith. Let me give you examples. The New Testament tells you, you want to find your life? Then die to yourself. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. I said I want to find my life, and you told me how to lose it. Yeah, the way to find it is to lose it. Okay, I will believe that by faith. Lord, help me to deny myself, to say no to myself, to die to myself, to offer myself a living sacrifice before you. Here's another one. The Bible tells you, a new covenant Christian, to spend time praying to a God who you can't see or hear, and you will be blessed. If you're not a man or woman of faith, you won't do that. If you don't pray much, if you rarely pray, that tells you something about your faith. It's very, very weak. People who believe there is blessing to be found through time and prayer will pray and seek that blessing and seek the presence of God. You'll need faith if you're going to obey the 10th commandment. Do not covet your neighbor's this or that or the other. We can make a long list. Don't covet. Yeah, but look at what he's got. No, don't covet. Rather, love a heaven that you have not yet seen, that you know you will one day inhabit. Covet closeness to Christ. Covet walking faithfully with the Savior. You're going to have faith. Some of you have family, grown family, and they, I don't know how to word it, they despise you because you're following Christ. They think poorly of you. Maybe they're nasty to you. They don't like you. They're unhappy with you. And you're made to feel that. You're not allowed to see the grandchildren because you're a Christian. Stuff like that. That going on with lives in this church. It takes faith to say, but I'm going to stick with Jesus Christ. That hurts, but I'm just going to keep right on following Christ. There are times when you have to be a man or a woman of faith. So we want to be like these great Old Testament saints because these things are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Never turn away from Jesus Christ, these Hebrews were tempted to. Never forsake the Lord. Never turn back to the world, the flesh, and the devil. No, keep on in Christ stronger and stronger and stronger till the day comes. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, our Father, for this time in your holy word. And we do pray that you would have your will and your way in each of us. Some of us in this room and hearing this message online need to be saved. Oh, Lord Jesus, we're praying for your mercy and pardon in their behalf now, asking that you would pour out the spirit of redemption into their souls, cause their knees to bow, cause their tongues to bless, and believe in you, Lord Jesus. Father, you've been so merciful to many of us, perhaps most of us in this room, and you have saved us by grace through faith in Christ alone. We bless you, we rejoice, and pray that you would increase our faith. that you would make us more like Abraham and the others about whom we read today, that we would hear from your word and believe it and act upon it to the glory of God. Asking for all now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving, amen.